Let's pray. Lord God, our Father in heaven, as we look forward in these next few days to the moment in history when you came into this world to save us, we do so in joy and anticipation that the narrative you created, culminating in Jesus' death and resurrection, continues today. We rejoice that your victory over death has brought eternal salvation and security to all who would receive it. We remember, though, that this came at huge cost, and in the face of an oppressive Roman regime and a murderous King Herod, a young family had to travel a huge distance to comply with the rules of the day. We remember that your presence was such a threat to the enemies of God that they unleashed their anger to try and silence and kill you. Even when it seemed they had succeeded by crucifying you at Calvary, thank you, Lord, that it wasn't the end of the story, and that we can now see that you were in control of the narrative from beginning to end. Lord, in these days of restrictions and fears of an unseen enemy virus, we pray for those who are affected by the rules of the day and suffering isolation, loneliness, ill health, and fear. Lord, we pray that you will draw close to those who call on you and bless them with your comforting presence and the knowledge that we are never alone in Christ Jesus. Grant us courage, perseverance, and patience, we pray. Of course, Lord, we've been complicit in the plans of the evil one, both metaphorically and sometimes literally. Oh God, have mercy on us and forgive us our foolish ways. We are sorry that we have treated you this way and pray that you will return to our national life. We put our trust in you, who remains in control of the story unfolding. We pray for our political leaders faced with difficult decisions amongst the din of conflicting opinion. O Lord, grant them clear vision, wisdom, and hearts for justice and doing good. We pray for protection from the virus, especially for vulnerable people and those closely exposed to it. We pray for protection from the effects of the restrictions, especially those who are weak, sick, needing treatment, and for the young, and for those who are isolated, lonely, and afraid. Oh Lord, we cry out for our family and friends who would come to you, that they will do whilst there is still time. Bless our church family, we pray, and thank you for the news of Maggie Duncan's operation and that she will recover quickly. We thank you for Maisie and Archie's recovery and return home, and remember Duncan's mum, Fiona, as she recovers from surgery. Lord, we pray for those amongst our congregation who are mourning, and we particularly remember the Counter family at this time. Pray you'll be with them. Lord, thank you for the blessing and security of belonging to you. Thank you for our church family, and grant us unity of mind and purpose that we might be ready to welcome new members into the family. Thank you for Junior Church and the youth groups, and protect them and build them up in faith, we pray. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what events surround us, we can rejoice in the knowledge of our baby Jesus and Savior of the world, who came to save us for yesterday, today, and forever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. I'm going to read some verses from the Bible now. You'll find them printed in the diary, and they're found from Luke chapter 2, and just seven verses. And what I want you to do as I'm reading these verses is to look for all of the things that make Jesus special. Okay? Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Well, not many verses, not a lot of details. And in fact, I want to show you that there's lots of things in here that tell us that this baby that was born doesn't seem to be terribly amazing at all. These verses start with the name of the most powerful person in the world at the time. And this tells me something about Jesus. So, just to emphasize it, I'll go with this. This has been set to its biggest setting. Caesar Augustus, Roman Emperor, makes this declaration that is going to affect everyone. Now, I know it's hard for you to believe that someone who is in power would ever give instructions that would tell people where they have to travel to or not travel to. It would be unthinkable. But this is what the Roman Emperor did. He said, I need to count everyone who's there, and you need to travel back to where your hometown is, where you've been registered. And what we see here is that the king, the Roman Emperor, holds power over Jesus. Jesus hasn't been born yet. He's still in his mummy's tummy. And they have to travel, 70 miles to go to Bethlehem. The king seems to have power over Jesus. And there's nothing terribly unusual about that. That's the same as everyone else. Second thing I want to point out is that when Mary and Joseph come to Bethlehem, we're told the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Now Luke, who writes these words for us, was a doctor. And it's probably likely that he helped to deliver a few babies in his time. And yet, when he writes this, he doesn't record anything unusual about the birth of Jesus. Oh, the time came. And anyone who's had a baby knows what that means. The time came and the baby was born. He didn't think there was anything unusual needed to be said. Seems quite ordinary. So here we have a baby who is told what to do by the king, like everyone else. Here we have a baby who seems to be born in a pretty normal way, just like everyone else. And there's one more thing I want to mention, and I'm going to illustrate it like this. Yeah, ours was slightly bigger than this, I recall. We're told that the baby is wrapped in cloths. In this case, wrapped in a pillowcase. Okay. Why do you think the baby was wrapped in cloths? Why do you think? Yeah. To keep him warm. Yeah, he needs to be protected from the cold. So it's wrapped in cloths. I don't know if there's anywhere I can put that that will be nice and visible for you. Stay there. So here's a child that's welcomed into the world, and you know what? The first thing that's done for babies that are born, pretty much the first thing, is they're wrapped in something to stop them getting cold. And here we have Jesus. He's born into this world, and straight away, he needs to be protected from the cold. He's wrapped in these cloths. But there's more than that here. Here's a poor baby. A poor baby. It says here, they wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. A manger wasn't a bed. It was a trough, a large container that animals ate out of. And even that has been borrowed. It's not even his. This is something that would be repeated throughout Jesus' life. Later on, we find him saying, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, he's saying, you know, you look around at nature, animals have their homes that they've built, that's where they stay. But look at me, the Son of Man, I'm homeless. I have nowhere to lay my head. And this is what he says to those who say they want to follow him. He said, well, be careful what you want, because even the animals live in greater comfort than I do. He has to borrow places to stay. And here, even when he's born, he has to borrow an animal's dinner plate to sleep in. And the reason he was laid there, the very last words of these verses, is because there was no guest room available for them. No one was willing to make room for him to be born. It suggests to us that this is not a baby that would be welcomed by everyone. We put all of these things together, and this portion of the story points us to an unusually ordinary baby that's born. And I say it's unusually ordinary because this is more than a child. That night that Jesus was born, the angels appeared to the shepherds and said to them, go into Bethlehem tonight because the Savior has been born. And this is the sign. You'll find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This symbol of poverty, this symbol of weakness, even rejection, was the sign that they were to look for, to confirm to them that this is the Lord who has come to save us. And this is what makes those ordinary things so amazing, that God, the one who has lived forever, whose power is unmeasurable, who rules over everything, would put himself under the rule of some guy, even if he is the Roman emperor. That he would come as a baby, and though miraculously conceived, born in an ordinary way, would allow himself to be wrapped in cloths, to be protected from the cold, to be laid in a borrowed bed, which was really for animals feeding out of. This message about Jesus is supposed to amaze us. We look at how ordinary it is and we say, how could God do this? Why would God do this? Well, it doesn't stop there. Jesus is going to do so much more. Elsewhere in the Bible, we're told that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that's you and me. Those who have done wrong things, who are separated from God. And Jesus comes as a little baby to grow into a man who would die on the cross in our place to rescue us. Can you believe that God would come into this world and do all of that for you? This is the amazing good news of Jesus coming. And simply, we need to trust him. We need to believe that he's done all of that for me. We need to trust him and follow him and give him our whole lives. But you know what? We need to keep trusting him. Jesus comes into a dark world. And many of us are feeling that the world is dark these days. Sometimes it's more obvious than others, but it's pretty obvious right now, I think. Jesus comes into that dark world and he is with us in it. The words we read from Matthew's gospel, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, still with us. We need to keep coming to the Savior and reminding ourselves of this great thing that God has done for us, so that even if everything else seems like it's crumbling round about us, this one thing remains. Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners of all ages, of all backgrounds, including you. Let's trust him today.